Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Are you ready? We're going to talk about now praise today. So we're going to talk about now praise. Amen. How many feel the spirit of praise in the house? Praise the Lord. So we want to talk about now praise. And if I got to talk about now praise, I have to tell my funniest praise joke. I don't know. You can tell me if it's funny later, but I like this one. This was about a fella, preacher owned a horse, and he decided he's going to sell his horse. And a guy came, and he was very interested in buying the horse. He said, "This is a fine horse." He said, "It is a fine horse, but you have to understand that this horse has been raised in a Christian home." And he says, "This horse only responds to church-like commands." He said, "Really?" He said, "Yes. Like, jump up there. Jump on the horse." He got on. He said, "Now listen." He says, "If you want him to go, you have to say, 'Praise the Lord.' And then if you want him to stop, you have to say, 'Amen.'" All right, so, okay. So he went, "Praise the Lord." And the horse started going. He went, "Oh, that's pretty good." And he went, "Praise the Lord." And the horse got a good trot going there. He said, "This is good." And he goes, "Praise the Lord." And the horse, galloping away, just going and going. And then all of a sudden, he went, "My goodness, whoa, look at that. We're heading near that cliff over there." And he said, glory to Jesus. God's good. I mean, what is that word? Just when they got to the edge of the cliff, he goes, "Amen." And his horse stopped right there, and he looked at him and goes, "That was close. Praise the Lord." What do you think? It's just that random file that pops up. It's too many years in church and sitting on pews and getting Pastor Stanley's emails when he used to send them. But anyways, that was all good. Now praise. We're going to praise. Psalm 95, verse 1. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." Come on. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." Psalm 27:6, "Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy." What's a sacrifice of joy? It's where you're going way beyond. It's where you've gone beyond your ability. You step beyond even what you feel like doing. You've gone way out there, and suddenly there's bubbling out of you sacrifices of joy. You're just, I'm just going big. I feel like I'm at the limit of my joy, but I'm going to go further. I'm going to give bigger sacrifices of joy. Come on. "I'll bring you sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle, and I will sing," yes, "I will sing praises to the Lord." Ephesians 5:18-19, "Those who are filled with the Spirit," it says, "those who are filled with the Spirit, Holy Ghost, overflowing with the Holy Ghost, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." Come on, we got to sing some more hymns around here. It's biblical. "Singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and with instruments, making melody with all of our heart to the Lord." Psalm 81, verse 1, he said to the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, say Gath. This is David saying to the chief musician on an instrument of Gath. You see, David, you remember that period where David went down and lived with the Philistines? Spent some time down there? How many think when he was hanging out with those guys who were basically warlords and they were kind of like city nations and warlords and rulers? How many think he might have gone to a few of their parties? Nobody, eh? I think he probably did. I think he probably went, had a few meals, did some stuff. He was hanging out with these folks. And he was trying to tell them, "I'm really with you guys. I mean, the people of Israel, they kicked me out. They don't like me. I'm your friend. I'm your bud." And I think he went to a few of their parties, and he saw some of the stuff they did. And he saw, "Man, what is that you're playing over there?" And he said, "It's a gittith." "Really? That's pretty awesome. I love the way you play that. We don't have any of those back in Israel." But David decided that when he got back to Israel, "You know what? I'm going to bring one of those instruments with me because that was cool. I could see us doing Psalm 100 on that." I'm sure he did. I'm sure if David was around today, he'd go to a couple of dance clubs and he'd hear the DJs doing some dubstep. I could see us doing Psalm 100 to that. That would get jiggy. Yeah, yeah. He went and got a Philistine instrument and brought it back to Israel and said, hey, this song, the song that I'm doing now, do that one to that Philistine instrument that I brought back. Oh, no, praise Jesus. A piano, maybe an organ, but that's it. Even the drums, that's dangerous stuff, the drums. In deep Africa, they beat the drums and call forth evil spirits. Come on, I was in church when we thought that way. When I was in church, my dad put a set of drums in the church. And all he did was put a set of drums in the church. People come in on Sunday and go, oh my, look at that, there's drums in the church, oh my. I tell you, pastor knows how I feel about that. But the drums sat there. They sat there for like 3 months, just drums on the platform. And people are like, what are those drums doing there, pastor? Oh yeah, I've got some drums, yep. And one day they're singing a song, but he goes, stop there for a minute. Stop there for a minute. Just we're singing that hymn, singing the psalm. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise him in his sanctuary, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him upon the high cymbals, praise him on the loud sounding cymbals. And so my dad goes, it'd be pretty cool to have somebody play the cymbals, wouldn't it? They're like, oh, I guess so. So I said, Carl, come on up. Play the drums. So I played the drums just for that song. Dad said, take it easy, chill, don't kill anybody. And so played the drums that day. Then Dad said, thank you, Carl. And I sat down. And people went, that actually was kind of uplifting. I didn't mind that. Really? You didn't mind that? Wow. So then, now every Sunday for like one song, I would come play one song and sit down. So then suddenly after about, you know, 3-4 months of this, people are like, I think Carl should play for all the songs, don't you? Well, I don't know. Do you think so? Do you think that we should have drums in church and we should play them all the time? Well, yes, Pastor. I think, well, if you say so. I said, boy, my dad was really smart, wasn't he? And then suddenly there was the drums. We had all these people. You would have had a church split if we played them right away. But just a little bit of wisdom. Eh? Now we got drums and boom. We got, look at those double 18 subwoofers, double 18-inch subs. I mean, man, I'm telling you, you can come in, if you got gallstones, we can crank those babies up and they'll vibrate, vibrate gallstones right out of there. I tell you, you got kidney stones, just come right up front and you stand close to those and ooh, you get a full body massage. Woo! Yeah, baby. All right, so anyways, it says sing it. Sing aloud to our God. Sing our God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Noah Gittith with a stringed instrument that David got from Gath. Look it up. It's interesting. Now you go all, now you wonder, well, maybe David did that. Maybe it only lasted a little while, you know. No, but you go all the way down to Habakkuk. This is generations later, hundreds of years later. In Habakkuk, it says a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigonoth. Say Shigonoth. Excuse you. All right. Shigonoth. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigonoth. Now the Amplified says a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet set to wild, enthusiastic, and triumphal music. Say wild. He wrote this prophetic word. He wrote this and he said this prophecy should be given, set to wild, intense, crazy music. All right, crank it up. Just get the shaking off, get the teeth, get it all. Let's go. I mean, David must love it today when he hears the amplifiers and everything we got, eh? I bet you he loves feedback. Yeah. But you know, that's what it was right there. And this is years later, and it says, do this one, set this one to Shigonoth, wild. And I love it. Look up, if you look up Shigonoth, it literally says wild and irregular. Say irregular. Well, that worship was altogether irregular. Amen. It's biblical then. Hallelujah. Irregular. It was irregular and an enthusiastic strain. All right, real simple stuff now. You ready? Seven elements of music. Real easy. Seven elements of music. And none of these are evil. They just are. All right? Music is music. Some people use it for evil intentions, some for good. But you know what? Music was created by God. And music is just music. Here it is. Listen now. Melody. If you have music, it should have a melody. What is a melody? It's a series of tones heard as musical thought. There's harmony. Harmony, what is harmony? It's when two or more tones are sounded at the same time. Rhythm, the orderly movement of music through such as measures and beats. Dynamics, volume, and properties of sound, notations, rest, and length. Form, arrangement of the parts to achieve best effect. Text, words or a message can be implied or communicated. And the seventh aspect of music, which the Bible declares, play skillfully on your instruments. The seventh part of music is performance. Somebody is performing and doing something, and they should do it skillfully, and they should be really, really good at it. You know, I've been in churches all my life, and I've seen lots of times when they'll let anybody get out there and sing, and then they'll go, oh, wasn't that wonderful? Thank you very much. And I go, that was awful. That was the worst solo I've ever heard. That was ear-splitting, just rotten. Other than the fact that it says, you know, praise him with ear-splitting noise, other than that, it is biblical, I suppose, but it was unpleasant. But in church, we go, oh, praise God, thank you, sister, brother, that was wonderful. It was, and everybody else is going like, why did I go to that church that day? They don't even know what good music is. Okay, well, that was good. Thank you, Pastor. All right. It's amazing. They study music. And it, you know why they study music? Because we like music. How many like music? People like music. How many play music in your car? You listen to stuff. You listen to music. And we like all kinds of music, don't we? You know, and all kinds of stuff. I had a couple of Wednesday nights ago, a gal that Kevin and Julie invited to church. She came and brought her mother. And their only experience was Roman Catholic. And when her mother was here, you know, we were just practicing a little bit before the service. And I came and said, how are you? It's good to see you. Your first time ever here. That's awesome. She says, the music's really loud. I said, and it's not a mistake. Yeah. It's not like somebody blew it. Like, we actually, yeah. You're right. Oh, my God. But she came back. So that was good. Amen. So, music. Now, just a study from Dr. E.G. Schallenberg of the University of Toronto. Music, listening, and cognitive abilities. This is what the study was called. Music, listening, and cognitive abilities in 10 and 11-year-olds. It was called the blur effect. And what they came, here's the conclusion they came to. These findings are consistent with the view that positive benefits of music listening on cognitive abilities are most likely to be evident when the music is enjoyed by the listener. What's interesting is they had a thing out years ago, I think they called it the Mozart effect, where somebody was putting together all this music and selling it to people saying, let your kids listen to this music and they'll be smart, it'll help their cognitive learning abilities and stuff. It was all a pile of garbage. They studied it and found out that it doesn't do anything for you. So all you poor kids that get raised on Mozart, so sad. Unless you enjoyed it. And if you do enjoy Mozart, say thanks to mom and dad. Because that's why you do. My kids like Pink Floyd. Because they were raised on that. You know. Oh my goodness, I was taught that they're evil. Well, you know. Anyways, let's move on. Also in the research has now determined that you train your brain to like a type of music. You do. Your brain literally gets trained. So you literally be in a place where I like that music. And you like it because you have trained, you've been conditioned towards a certain type of music. So you people who like old school country music, get over yourself. It was just a bad choice. Just admit it. You know? I'm only kidding. I can see somebody looking me down right now. Going, hey, you know what? George Jones, I love George Jones. I love it. Like the hardcore classic country, that was good. You know, that the stuff they're doing now just sounds like the Beatles with a metal guitar. But, you know, the old hardcore country, that was rocking right there. That was good stuff. Amen? But you know what, it's not like some people go, I go to church and they have this style of music and oh, it's so awesome. You know what, you like that style of music. It's not about the church, it's not God going, it's more anointed when they play that. You know, it's not even metaphysically true, it's just not, so get over yourself. All right, learn to like what we do, you can do it. Say in Jesus' name, I like it loud. I can do this. I can do this. Ready? I can do this. Hallelujah. I can do it. You know why? Because all the kids, all the people at the KISS concert last night, it was way louder than now, way louder than anything you've had. And all the kids who go to Jay-Z and Run DMC and all that, it's like, boom, boom. It's like you think the whole roof's going to lift off. I mean, it's not just you're going to get your gallbladder. It's going to, you know, but we don't want any of them at our church, so we're going to stay with the stuff, you know. But you know what? If you're saying I want a generation, then we're going to have to speak their language. We're going to have to speak their language. Well, fine then. I'll go find that church that does my music. Well, we're going to start a 9 o'clock service where we do the real soft, gentle stuff. And you can all come to that. We're not. I just threw that out. How many were going like, wow, I saw a couple people get excited. Well, I'm talking about music. I'm just saying, you know what? It's about style. There are preferences. There's all those kind of things. But anybody who tries to tell you all that, they honestly are just not learned enough to figure it out. So thank you, Pastor. Some still look at him like, yeah, no, I still disagree. I don't know. I still think. That's right. You listen to what you listen to. It's all good. When I'm at your house, I don't touch your radio. It's whatever you want to do. But when you're in my car, don't touch mine. Don't you hate it when you get in the car and somebody tries to play DJ while you're driving? You're like, I was listening to that, if you don't mind. All right. How many are not yet offended at me? How many? All right, good. Okay. All right. Top three schools in America all place a great emphasis on music and the arts. Hungary, Japan, and the Netherlands are the top three academic countries in the world, and they all place a great emphasis on music education and participation in music. The top three engineers in Silicon Valley, all three of them are musicians. Napoleon said, "Give me control over he who shapes the music of a nation. I care not who makes the laws." We're arguing about laws. People are listening to music. We're arguing about laws. People are listening to music. I'm going to show you something in a minute. Maybe I'll just give you a head start. You ready? Teach and admonish one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen to that. Listen, really, pay attention with your spirit. Teaching one another with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. How do you teach and admonish one another? By arguing with each other about what you believe truth is. How do you teach a generation? How do you teach? See, what Napoleon knew, how do you teach and train a generation? Not by telling them what's right or wrong. Teach them with music. Wow. And then the Bible says, teach and admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. How many learned more listening to a song, had an encounter with God listening to a song, a truth in a song touched your life in such a way you were never the same? How many heard a truth in a song that made you actually search the scriptures where that was and cause you to develop that song? Because it says it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible twice. If it's in once, that's amazing. If it's twice, pay attention. Teach each other, admonish one another. Okay, I got ahead of myself there. All right, the Pentagon School of Music. Say Pentagon. The Pentagon School of Music. It takes 15 months to instruct and instruction to produce one band leader. 15 months of instruction to produce one band leader who basically goes, 15 months to train them how to lead a band in the military. 15 months. It only takes 13 months to train a jet pilot. How many think they're putting a ridiculous emphasis on the band leader? They do. And you know what? Music is very, very important, and how it's done and everything is very, very important. All right, Albert Einstein. How many remember Albert Einstein? It's the funny guy with the weird hair. E equals MC squared. Albert. His parents were told that he was too stupid to learn in grade school. So his parents went and wrote the Board of Education and protested and wanted the teacher thrown out and removed. They said, "My child is smart." No. You know what they did? They bought him a violin. "My kid's too stupid to learn in grade school. What are we going to do? Let's get him a violin, honey." You know what? Music and getting your kids to learn a musical instrument can change their lives. His parents got him a violin. This is one of his closest friends, G.J. Withrow. He said the way Einstein figured out his problems and equations was by improvising on a violin. He said when he got stuck and he couldn't figure something out, he would just pause, go pick up his violin, and begin to play. And he'd play his violin, and all of a sudden he'd put it down, sit down, and go, Don't look at me funny. I didn't write it. I'm just preaching it. Music is very, very important. Music should be a very highly respected thing in this house and what we do. And we do it on purpose. And the reason we even do styles and things, we should do on purpose. What we do isn't an accident. And why we do it and where we're headed should not be an accident. And we should all be on the same page in where we're going and what we're doing. Get an amen. I'm not telling you change your style, but understand where we're going corporately. Understand why. Understand what's going on and see what's happening. All right. So Martin Luther, the great reformer Martin Luther, he said, "The devil takes flight at the sound of music. The devil takes flight at the sound of music, just as he does at words of theology." Very good. So what would be really good is if we put words of theology to music, which is what Charles Wesley did with his brother John Wesley's preaching. He turned them into hymns so that when the people left, they could remember the preaching, because he took the preached word and he put it in a hymn, and his hymns were full of sound theology. That's where our songs better have sound theology. That's where sometimes some of our courses and stuff, that sounded good, it was really good, but I sometimes get troubled because it reestablishes in us a mindset that sometimes, like, you know, oh, Holy Spirit, come, and we're like, it's like we're desperate for him, and he did come, he's here. And sometimes we can get into weird places where it seems like heaven's holding out on us, and we just got to overcome him enough to get him here. And sometimes you get things you're singing that kind of establish a wrong concept of God. You know what I mean? Yeah, come on. So we have to really do it on purpose and be careful. All right, so that was Martin Luther. He said, after theology, I give the highest place and the greatest honor to music. J.S. Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach, he believed in music, and he said music is refreshment of the spirit. He believed that music brought glory to God. That's why the SDG, when he put that on his bottom of his titles, he would put SDG, which meant to God alone be glory. So he would write something and he would say, I was inspired by God. And if anybody listens to this and you think it's good, to God be the glory, great things he has done. Okay, so to God be the glory are found at the end of most of his scores, and JJ appears at the top of many of his pieces, which stands for Jesus Juva, or Jesus Help Us. All right, good. So I think I got ahead of myself. If you guys followed me back there, you're awesome. I probably had several patterns, but you followed me along. All right, how do you praise the Lord? You ready? How many want to know how? All right. The best way is to sit very quietly and have a scowl on your face. That's the best way. No, you know what that's called? That's called flesh. When you see somebody sitting like this during a worship service, just point at them and say, you're in the flesh, brother. And the person that's running around screaming, going, wah, say, now that's how you should do it. But you know what the church has done? The church has done, this is dignified, but running around crazy, that's not, that's that. But really, the Bible says the person running around going crazy, waving a flag, lipstick on their tooth and a broken heel, woo! That's the real deal. Can I get an amen? Man, I'm telling you. All right, how do we do it? All right, there's like 26 different words for praise. We translate it praise, but these Hebrew words all have different meanings. But our English word is just praise or rejoice. But here's one, halal. Halal means to rave, to boast, or to celebrate. So you look at that. It says, they who seek the Lord rave, boast, and celebrate him. Woo! Are you seeking the Lord? Rave, boast, and celebrate. See that? The word rave is in the Bible. The word rave isn't something that you do at 3 o'clock in the morning taking all kinds of ecstasy. I'm going to a rave, man. Rave is what you should be doing for God, in the presence of God. I mean, you should be raving. You're a raving lunatic. No, I'm a raving praise and worshiper. All right, good. Okay, settle down. All right. Yada, to acknowledge him in public. Praise him in public. He says, I will acknowledge in public you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will praise you. Here's another one. You ready? Here's another. Barak. Barak means to bless by kneeling or bowing. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. It's the word Barak. Then there's one of my favorite words, Tehillel. Tehillel. Not just Hillel, but Tehillel. And Tehillel is Hillel with the T-E, which is an intensifier, which takes us from just Hillel to not just boasting about the Lord and raving about the Lord, but intensely boasting and raving about the Lord. Tehillel. That means to just go wild out there with exuberant singing. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. Then the next one, we got Psalm 94:4. Shout joyfully, ruah, to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in the song, rejoice, and sing zamar praises. Ruah is to shout, to give a blast or a war cry. Joy and triumph! Triumph! When was the last time you really shouted in church? I'm just not like that. It doesn't say do that if you're like that, or do that if it's your personality type. It says do it unto the Lord. Yeah, well, I'm just not jiggy with that. Well, get over yourself. Jiggy. Is that an old word, jiggy? I know I'm like... Will Smith, well, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? You know, was that? Getting jiggy. Will Smith, what was that when the guy I left from New Jersey went down to live with the homies in Philadelphia? Yeah, that was it. Shut up. Easy now. Easy, 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 easy. I'm feeling the spirit of that KISS concert coming in the room right now. All right. Relax then. All right. All right. Okay, that was rap music. What am I doing? Oh, shout joyfully to the Lord. Zamar is to sing or to make music. Shabak. Shabak is to address in a loud tone to shout. Shabak. Tauda means to lift your hands in adoration. Amen? How many have never lifted your hands in the church while you're praising the Lord? How many have never done that? Gotcha. That's good. How many have never lifted both hands? Isn't it awesome? You know, I went to... what's that name of that group? Sings Yellow. What's that? Coldplay. I went to a Coldplay concert. Please forgive me. The tickets were free. It was awesome. So I went. had somebody call me. Would you like to go see Coldplay? I didn't even know what they sang. I said, oh, it's cool. But what a cool concert. I love going because I love all the things they do. And they had these big, huge balls that would float around in the place. And they had cameras and images inside them. And I just love the stuff they do to make the experience big. You know what I mean? And so you're at these things and they're going and they're singing. And then everybody in the place had their hands all up going. You know, it's like, whoa. And then I'm listening, like, all these people know the words. They're all singing along. And it's like, and I'm like, man, it's not one of their songs. I just made that up. But they do have a song where you just kind of sing something. And you know, you see that. I go, look at all these praise and worshipers. Look at all these desperate praise and worshipers who desperately want to worship God, who desperately want to do what praise is really for, who desperately want to engage, and their spirit is crying out to hook up to the eternal God. And look at it. It's intense. And then when the group says goodnight, everybody, they're like, and they're crying out for more, you know? Everybody's looking at their watch. I saw nobody there looking at their watch going, thank God they're done, you know? I mean, when it was done, they were like, we want more! We want more! You know, they weren't like, yeah, I got plans at 9. Could you guys hurry up the concert, please? You know, I paid $150 for these seats, but I don't give a rip. Be a half an hour, let me out of here, you know? They're committed. They're in there. And yet we come to worship the wonderful God and we're like, could we do this quicker? Could we wrap this up a little faster? How come we sing so long? We don't sing long enough. Amen. If only the pastor would cut his preaching back a bit, we could... I heard that. I saw that. I saw the agreement. I saw a couple of nods there. I rebuke you. All right, okay, yeah, settle down. All right. Okay, because I love you and your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I'll praise you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Then one of my favorite words is, it can be pronounced ghoul or ghoul, ghoul. It is to spin around under the influence of violent emotion. Psalm 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and spin around under the influence of violent emotion. Let me read it to you again. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Hallelujah. No, be glad in the Lord and... Yeah, I ain't doing that. It's in here. It's not optional. Oh, yeah, it is. That's optional. Yeah, you don't have to do that. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. It's an imperative. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all the upright in heart. And it's found again in Psalm. It's found in several places, actually, I think about 44 places. But Psalm 118:24, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, spin around under violent emotion. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. Ooh, we will rejoice. Hey, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. How do you remember that song? You remember that? I remember the first time we sang it. I was about 9 years old at a camp meeting, and we sang it about a million times. We sang it over and over, but I mean, everybody was tripping. They were all like, wow, this is the day, and they're all going, and literally after about the 100th time singing it, it felt like there was a wave of glory going back and forth over the top of the whole thing, and I'm like, if they sing that one more time, I'm going to spit. I mean, but you know, eventually, even as a little kid, I got caught up in it, and then I'm going home, this is the day. this is the, I will rejoice and be gets in you. All right, I got to move along because I got a sermon to preach here in a second. All right, so, hey, how many watch Oprah? It's okay. All eyes closed, heads bowed. Okay, how many of you have watched Oprah? Man, wow. How many watched Oprah's Christmas show? Remember when she gave all that stuff away? You got to go watch it on YouTube again because I'm telling you, how many think that was some crazy? Come on, Cheryl, stand up. Ready? Stand up. I mean, she starts unpacking like massive, like, you know, $15,000, $20,000 watches and telling the audience, you're all getting one. And then she's unpacking this resort. You're all going there for 2 weeks. And just there, she's just giving stuff away like crazy. Come over here, honey. Come over here. You ready? She unpacked the watch and she showed the people a watch. Two ladies in the front were like, you're out of your praise exercises. I mean, I had one lady, she's like, woo, 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 woo. I mean, they're running, they're laughing, they're, like, Jesus loves you, he heals you, and he sets you free. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He will bless you exceedingly abundantly. He will do for you more than you can even imagine or think. If you can imagine Oprah could give stuff away, he can blow Oprah away. Yeah, that's good. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, they'll believe that our God is amazing when we do. You know, we got a bus that we're going to run through Fanshawe and Western starting this semester. And we're going to pick up young people. And I don't want them walking into a place where God is good. Amen. I want them walking into a place where people are running, jumping, and actually believe what they're singing and are moved by what they're singing. And are excited about what they're singing, and lose 10 pounds in every worship service. Amen? We also are going to get 4 chairs at the back. We're hooking them up with oxygen. For me. Okay, we got to get going. Hello. Let's take a praise break right now. Woo! Yeah! Jesus! You know, last night at the Kiss concert, they finished the concert with their encore song, I want to rock and roll all night and party every day. And then they finished it up, put their guitars down. Good night, everybody. I mean, how do you just sing I want to rock and roll all night and then say goodbye? You know what I mean? How crazy is that? You know, then you go, I can sing of his praises forever, forever. Good enough. 2 rounds. That's good. All right, Pastor, help me, Pastor. Come on. Why should we praise the Lord? Why should we praise the Lord? Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Oh, whew, that was good. Oh, my. Wow. Okay. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Whew. And his mercies endure forever. Whew. That's why we should praise him, because he's good. You should praise him for the good things he's done. How many has done some good things for you? How many of your life was a train wreck and he got you turned around and helped you out a little? How many of your life was always together? God's lucky he's got you. You know? How many ever gone through a little trouble in your marriage? Maybe just once or twice you had to pray, oh, Jesus, help me, and he helped you. How many ever had a problem with a kid? You had to pray, and he helped you with that child. How many ever had a problem at work, and you had to pray, and God helped you there? How many ever had sickness in your body and were concerned and desperate and needed a touch from God, and he was there? Yeah, you know why? Because he's good. He's good. So, you know, we can praise him because he is good. He was good. But, you know, you can praise him because he's going to be good. He's going to continue to be good. And here's a passage of scripture, all right? Here's a passage of scripture that often gets used in praise times. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And that's where Jehoshaphat and the prophet came. And he said, you know, trust me. And he said, you're going to win a great victory tomorrow. Just go out and meet these people. And I'm going to drop kick them. The battle's the Lord's. All right, so here's what they did. It says, those who should sing to the Lord, he said, we're going to send them out first and send them before the army. God didn't tell them to do that. God didn't say do that. And therefore, people who make the principle that when you praise God, he shows up, that's not actually here. That is true, but it's not actually in this passage. In this passage, they decided. They were so overwhelmed by the prophetic word that God promised them victory. They said, you know what would be really cool? Because God's already promised a victory, right? So, you know what would be really cool tomorrow is if instead of the army going first, we just sent like the band. Hey? Because we so totally trust God, this is a done deal. So wouldn't it be neat if they sit there and see us coming out and then they're going like, what the? I mean, these guys are coming at us with trumpets and ukuleles. I mean, what's the deal with this? Wouldn't that be awesome? God didn't tell them to do it. That was their idea. And you know why it was their idea? Because they believed the word of God. And you know what? When you believe the word of God, even if there's no manifestation yet, you're saying amen. I mean, we're in the room there with Keith, and his wife was strapped up and didn't look good. And the doctor said, is she really sick? In fact, there's 20 to 30% possibility of rain. 20 to 30% possibility. That bugs me about the forecasters. They tell you 20% rain. Who cares? There's 80% sunshine. I mean, what? Anyway. But, you know, they said that. We prayed walking with Keith and went, I feel really good. She's done. She's good. She is strong. She's getting better right now. It's going to be better than ever. And you know what? When you start praising God, when you see the results, you start praising God when you got the promise. You start praising God when you got the word. And you know what? We got the word. So you know what? Praise him because he's going to do good stuff for you and he's never going to change. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he's always going to bless you. He's always for you. You are the head, not the tail. You are condemned to a life of constant victory. Woohoo! Man, buy this tape and put it in your car while you're driving. You'll be going 140 in no time. They began to praise the Lord, and the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. But it wasn't because God told them to. They did it because they were manifesting, I believe God, recklessly. Hallelujah. Get a hallelujah. All right. Come on, let's move on. All right. When you surround yourself with music that glorifies God, you're actively putting yourself in the very presence of God. And God literally lifts us up. He changes us. He changes our circumstances. He changes everything. Number one, he changes you. All right? Now, I could have brought it all out. You go study it. But there's so much research done about the effects of music all over the place. And there's so much more than just this. But I'll just tell you these three things. When you praise, when you sing, when you give glory to God, it will heal your body. It will make you smart. Amen. Let all the average folks say amen. It'll make you smart, S-M-R-T. All right. And emotionally, it'll make you emotionally strong. It'll cause everything to shift. When you praise the Lord, it'll bring emotional stability in your life. And praise will change you. Music can rearrange your whole inner world. I mean, who do you think designed it that way? He did. That's why people, you can put on mood music. But you know what they still proved? That if your boyfriend broke up with you, if you keep on listening to the sad songs, you'll still be sad. You know, listen to, was it Miranda Gilbert? Her breakup songs are good. I booted him to the curb. He's out of my life. I don't give a rip. I'm moving on because I'm awesome. That's a good breakup song. Put that breakup song on. You know what I mean? Oh, my boyfriend left me. I'm so sad. He went to my girlfriend. Say good luck with that, because I'm moving on. I'm awesome. He's an idiot. Woo! I tell you, music's big. And you know what? God has filled this. Why do you think you got 150 psalms plugged right in the middle? Oh, I'm going to read something. I don't know what to read. Put you right in there and you go, woo! Praise the Lord! Yeah, because it'll change the whole situation. All right, now it'll change others. I've already told you this, but look at it. It says you'll change other people. Here it comes right now. It's coming up on the screen. There it is. Oh, that was Samuel. Remember Samuel, where David was called and Saul had an evil spirit, but when David played, the evil spirit left him. So, I mean, music can completely shift your world. Here's we started a new deliverance ministry around here. It's not called Sozo. It's called Here It Goes. You come in, and I play the guitar and go, "Woo, you're free, you're free, you're free. Woo, yeah, you're free, you're free, you're free. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, you're free." It's expensive, though. It's $500 a show. So, but anyway. But now, it changes others. You ready? I already gave you this, but here it is in Colossians. Not only in Ephesians, but in Colossians. Teach and admonish one another. How? Well, I do it like this. You know, you ain't living right. You know what the Bible says about that, eh? You shouldn't even talk that way. I'm going to straighten you up, I tell you. Boom, 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 boom. Go up you one side, down the other. Boom, 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 boom. No, it says, teach one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual gifts. So how do you do that? Somebody come and go, "I'm sick. I feel so bad." Really? "Oh, Jesus is my healer. I feel awesome. Yeah. Oh, why are you saying?" I said, "I feel sick." "I know. Jesus is my healer. I feel awesome. Heals me all the time. Heals me. Jehovah Rapha. Woof, Jehovah Rapha. Boom, boom. Jehovah Rapha." Did you get, you enjoyed that? You know what? Now you're laughing. You know what that leads to? It leads to health. You know what? Somebody comes to you, they're not feeling good. You know what the Bible says? Whoop, 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 whoop. People get healed and listen to a song about you're healed. There's a healer in the house today. He gonna find a way. Boom, 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 boom. There's a healer in the house today. Oh, there's a healer in the house today. You're disobedient walking in your sickness. You should stop being sick. It's an affront to the cross. Be well in the name of Jesus. You go out there, say, "I'm a believer," and you got sickness in your life. It's disgusting. I'm coming back to that church. He loves you. He heals you. He touches you every day. He's nuts about you. And it's joy, joy, joy. Gonna lift all your heaviness. Gonna set you free. Woo, woo, woo. "I just told you I was sick. Why are you singing?" "Oh, still sick. Ah, Jesus is my..." I didn't make it up. I'm just reading it. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. All right. Admonish one another. Because you know what? Singing is going to change other people. It says they will change. They will be admonished. They will be taught. They will be transformed. You impact others when you sing. "All right, I'm doing all right. Did this clock stop?" Who cares? Did you want to see time fly? I'm just shocked. I feel like I've been going on forever. I'm exhausted with this service. Can I give you the next point 3 weeks from now? Because I need to go take a break. All right, come on. Change others now. Change your circumstance. Read a scripture really fast. In fact, I'm just going to refer to it. We're not going to read it. You can go read it. But how many remember Paul and Silas? They cast the devil out of that girl, and she was making money for those people, so they got upset, wanted them thrown in jail. So sure enough, they arrested them. They beat them. They flogged them, which legally they shouldn't have done, but they did. Beat him, whipped him, and then they put him in stocks, put them in the bottom of the prison, put them in stocks. So, you know, did you know that one of the worst things in the world is to be in stocks and then have an itchy nose? Like you're in stocks. So you're like, you know, "Silas, can you lean over a little bit?" The other prisoner's going, what are those boys doing over there? What's going on?" He got an itchy nose just trying to help out his brother there. You know, when you're in stocks and you've just been beaten and your back is all bloody, how many know these people don't bandage you up and put on some cream? They lock you up in the bottom of the prison with a bunch of rats and your blood is pouring out of your back. And then you know what's happening? Is you got rats chewing on your flesh. Do you know how lepers lose their hands and they lose all those things? They have no feeling in their hands. They fall asleep and rats come and chew their fingers off. They don't lose them because they fall off. They get chewed off by rats. And you see, here's these guys. I got rats crawling on my back. I've been out here preaching for Jesus. I mean, I cast the devil out of a woman. I mean, my goodness, I don't like the way things are going, Lord. I'm just trying to serve you, just trying to preach. This is not good. I mean, I'm going through some serious hardship here. I mean, you'd think you'd show up about now. This, I mean, here they are. They're sitting there, and hey, what's your favorite song? Mine is. Remember that Sunday school we used to sing, "Hallelujah, Hallelujah, 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 Praise Ye." Oh, that's tormenting because you know you got to get up and down like that. We're in these stocks. I mean, oh, okay. How about I'm in right? That one's not good either. How about "This Is the Day"? Yeah, this is the day. This is the day that the. We're in stocks. Our backs are bloodied. We're a mess. What are you doing singing that? You know what? This is it. We're giving praise to Jesus. I don't care what's going on in my life because praising the Lord will change our circumstances. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So look what happened. They were praying and they're singing hymns. Amen. We should get some hymnals back around here. A lot of hymn singing in the Bible. They're singing some hymns to God. Prisoners were listening and suddenly... Prisoners are listening, and suddenly there's a great earthquake, and their stocks are broken off, their chains are broken off, the chains are broken off of everybody, and then the jailer runs in, he wants to kill himself, and they "You dirty dog, I can't believe you put me in chains, he's going to beat you." No, they said, "Hey, don't kill yourself, don't be silly, you can come to know Jesus." You know, that praise and that worship changed that whole situation, and everybody got set free. If you would stop throwing pity parties and keep on tramping with God in the victory parties... a lot of transformation would be taking place all around us. But I tell you, praise will change your circumstances. Last one, you ready? Last one. I got the worship team going to come right now. Worship team's coming right now. Did the worship team hear that? All right. We're going to sing that Holy Ghost dance song. Dance, dance, whoa, let the Spirit move you. Dance, dance. And I'm actually going to ask, right after I finish this slide, I'm going to ask our people who are designated to pray for people today, if you guys would come up too, because I want you to come. We're going to close by just worshiping and praising and shouting to God. But then maybe you need prayer for something. We're going to pray for you this morning, and we're going to take care of that business too, all right? All right, so right after this, look, praise overcomes your preference. Praise overcomes your preference. I prefer not to praise God right now. Praise overcomes your preference. It's not because you feel like it. I prefer complaining and whining right now. I prefer being miserable and ugly right now. No, no, no. You see, because praise overcomes your preference. Don't declare the problem. Introduce it to a great God. And suddenlies will happen. All right, so that was about now praise. Now praise. We might do another now praise because I want us to really, really get this. And how many are feeling pressure? Oh, I feel pressure to praise now. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I have to perform. Yeah, you do. I'm not performing for anybody. No, you're praising God. It's called obedience. You know, and God designed this for very real reasons. It's not like, you know, I guess we should do something, you know. I guess, you know, throw a few songs in before the pastor preaches. No, this is real stuff. And I tell you, I want to be a church where we are marked. We are marked by our praise posture. We are marked by how violent our praise is. We are marked by a people who know how to get results with praise. How many feeling pressure now? I really want. I'm exhorting you. I'm encouraging you. Come on. Let's be bold. Let's be ridiculous. Let's praise God. Push a little further. Push a little further. If you've never lifted your hands before, lift your hands. If you've never come out of your seat and run and done a jig, get out of your seat and do a jig. If you've never shouted at the end of a praise song, shout. If you've never fallen down on your face during a worship song, fall down on your face in a worship song. Let's do it. If you've never danced, that's because I know I intimidate a lot of people. Here's a really good dance. Ready? How many think they can do that? All right. Jesus, I just want to baptize this church in praise. I want to get this house... I know they love you. I know they're exuberant, but I want to get them to shake off any heaviness or anything. Don't bring any stuff with you that'll hold you down. Really come with your face on Jesus, with your mind in his glory and in his presence. And I just want to be so marked by praise because, you know, this is the real deal. When they began to praise, you started tapping your foot and the earth shook under our feet. In the midnight hour when it was dark and ugly and it was miserable, praising the Lord changes everything. It really, really does. And so, Father, I want to see us get happy like Oprah. I want to see us grab each other and spin around violently, going, "God healed me. He loves me." Ah! I mean, I want to release this house into, when people come in, they go, my God, these people really mean it. Father, I just pray you would just baptize us with a fresh spirit of praise, a now praise, just a violence in our spirit to love you and adore you. And bind every one of our hearts together, one with another, that we're not here to be self-conscious. We're here to be God-conscious. We're not here to be self-aware. We're here to be aware of God's presence. We're not here to stare at each other. We're here to put our eyes and fix them on you and just love on you. So baptize us afresh in a spirit of praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen.